You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
The Grace Series, Week 4, Love. John chapter 3, verse 16, King James Version. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Bring all your worries to the Lord, because he loves you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 to 7. I am so excited about today and this week. We are celebrating Jesus' death and resurrection. Why? Because he paid the price for our sins. Why? Because he loved us first. Within the month of March, we have been celebrating new life in God's grace, and in the first half of this month, April, we are going to exalt this even more. Next week, we are all celebrating new members and new life in Christ with baptisms. Praise the Lord! Here in Central and Southern Texas, the leaves are now on the trees, and green grass and flowers are all over the landscape. The air is continuously filled with the sounds of people working outside, the sounds of animals in the fields, bleating lambs, cows, chirping birds, and the smell of flowers and freshly cut grass. People are plucking the wildflowers and the blooms on rose bushes, bringing this new life inside their houses. Windows are opened and life is embraced. It is new life after a period of death. This is what some people, lost people, just minimize with the words, the circle of life. But my dear friends, there is so much more to this than just the circle of life. Within the past and coming week, this is what we are looking at. Grace, mercy, faith, hope, love, and new life in Christ. This week we are continuing in the Grace series with God's wonderful love. Our God is a wonderful, loving God. As the Holy Spirit gave us insight in the first week of March on God's love for us by having us look in the mirror and ask ourselves how we see ourselves. Do we see ourselves through our own eyes and the eyes of the world with all kinds of negativity and low self-esteem? Or do we see ourselves through the eyes of the Holy Spirit that is in us? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 to 7, New International Version, 1984. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. 1. John chapter 4, verse 7 to 8, New International Version, 1984. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. If we do not know God, how can we know love? The love of the flesh, lust, yes, but true love, no. When we have been born of God, we have received his Holy Spirit. So many times this week we've been talking about people, brothers and sisters that are missing out on God's love because they do not truly know him. They do not know his true spirit, his Ruach HaKodesh. The Midrash is a Hebrew book that, through rabbinical scholarly investigation and interpretation of the Tanakh, the Old Testament, brings out a lot of the deeper ethical meaning of the text. This can include history, stories, or even folk tales that give a clear explanation of the text. Following is a great story of true love. According to legend, this is the story explaining why God chose Mount Moriah to have his temple built upon it. The location of Solomon's temple and Jerusalem. In the days before the Bet HaMikdash temple was built, two brothers, Shimon and Levi, inherited a large field from their parents. This field was on Mount Moriah, in the heart of the Promised Land. Instead of dividing the land into separate fields, the two brothers decided to work the field together. Every morning they got up early and worked the days together. At harvest time, they would cut the wheat bind it into sheaves, and divide it equally into piles. Then each brother would carry his pile into his own storehouse. One year, after harvesting all day in the sun, the brothers decided to sleep beside their piles of sheaves instead of carrying them to their storehouses. But late that night, Shimon could not sleep. He kept thinking of his brother Levi. "It isn't fair that the harvest is divided equally between us. Levi has a family to support, but I am alone. Why should I take so much? It is better that he receive a bigger portion." So Shimon got up, gathered as many sheaves as he could from his pile, and surreptitiously placed them on his brother's stack. He then went back to his own pile of sheaves and slept sweetly. A while later, Levi awoke from a dream. In his dream, he saw his brother Shimon as an old and sick man. He thought, "It isn't fair that the harvest is divided equally. Shimon is all alone. He has no wife or children to care for him when he gets old. He will need more grain to help him prepare for his future. It is better that he receive a bigger portion." So Levi got up, gathered as many sheaves as he could from his pile, and surreptitiously placed them on his brother's stack. He then went back to his pile of sheaves and slept sweetly. When daylight came, the two brothers went to load their wagons, but were amazed to see the same number of sheaves in their piles as before. Perplexed, they quietly finished their work and went home. But neither brother could sleep that night. Each kept thinking of the needs of the other. Finally, each went to his storehouse, took as many sheaves as he could carry, and began walking quietly to his brother's house. Suddenly, halfway between their homes, the two brothers saw each other in the moonlight. In an instant, they both understood the other's heart. Embracing, they gave each other a kiss of brotherly love. And it was on that spot, atop Mount Moriah, that God chose the site for his holy temple. That, my dear brothers and sisters, is love, true love, setting others higher than oneself. Remember what Jesus taught us on the same topic. John chapter 13, verse 6 to 10, Amplified Bible. When he came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are my feet to be washed by you? Is it for you to wash my feet?" Jesus said to him, "You do not understand now what I am doing, but you will understand later on." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you have no part within me. You have no share in companionship with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, wash not only my feet, but my hands and my head too." Jesus said to him, "Anyone who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is clean all over. And you, my disciples, are clean, but not all of you." Jesus extended his love not just in words, but also in deeds. What needed to be done was done. He humbled himself to become the lowest, the servant, fulfilling the humble task of washing dirty feet. So many times we see people who love within the borders of strict and set rules and conditions. How many times is it that the words are said, "I love you, but not that much"? Unfortunately, I know some people who would love their spouse, make love with their spouse, but when it came to the sickbed and the need for care, they were not there. "Oh, yucky, I cannot do that. That is nasty." What do they see? A pus wound that is dirty and maybe even contagious, or do they see the one that is loved? I can tell you this with 100% certainty. If they knew what love was, if they could look into the mirror and see themselves as the Lord sees them through the eyes of the Holy Spirit, then they would also see their spouse in the same way as the loved one in need of care. They would have overcome their fear of infection and yuck and do as the doctor had explained to them. True love, godly love, sees us for who we are, a child of God. A lover of the Lord sees the Lord in his, her lover. When the Holy Spirit-filled person sees another Holy Spirit-filled person, the Holy Spirit recognizes itself. Glory to God, praise His holy name. It is then also that we will hear that heavenly music of love. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, Amplified Bible. The Lord your God is in the midst of you, a mighty one, a Savior who saves. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in silent satisfaction, and in His love He will be silent and make no mention of past sins or even recall them. He will exult over you with singing. Even through our most difficult times, God reassures us that when we belong to Him, we can come to Him, our loving Father. We see our teachings of the last couple of weeks again coming together in the words to the churches. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 to 5, Amplified Bible. But God, so rich is He in His mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which He loved us, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, He made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ Himself, the same new life with which He quickened Him. For it is by grace, His favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment and made partakers of Christ's salvation. He made us alive together. Why together? Why not just He made us alive? Because we are all the same, we all have shortcomings and trespasses, we all are in need of forgiveness, grace, mercy, faith, hope, and love. Together, learning from each other, growing in faith, and healing together from our wounds of death. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, King James Version. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Life is not always easy. It has its ups and downs. But knowing that we are known by our name and that we do not go through this life alone is comforting. We have the Lord to count on. He has given us a family. He has given us His Son and His bride, the Church. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 to 12, New International Version, 1984. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. This month is dreaded by many, not because Jesus' death is celebrated, but because of that thing with the IRS that is coming up. Giving Caesar what is Caesar's is always painful, just as it is for many to give God what is God's. There is a major difference, though. The government and your employer know you by your number, your employment number, or your social security number. What they know about you is what you owe them. In return, they give you a little, some money or some infrastructures that make life easier, like roads and bridges. But God, He knows you by your name. Psalm chapter 139, New International Version, 1984. For the director of music, of David, a psalm. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God! Away from me, you bloodthirsty men! They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. David, oh, how he knew the Lord and his love for him, and with that, we know his love for us. David writes here about a God of love, a God of compassion. The word compassion is always used of God. He is the God of mercy and the God of compassion. The Jewish rabbis referred to God as the compassionate one and the father of compassion. God has a heart full of tender love towards his people and towards his creation. The Hebrew word rachem, compassion, is also related to the Hebrew word rahem, womb. God loves from deep within his being. In this context, we now understand that created in the depths of the earth means the same as created in the womb. God knows us, as he is the Aleph and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows our beginning and our end. He knows us better than we know ourselves, and he loves us so much that his Son died for us. Are we then not disobedient and disrespectful if we are not even able to love ourselves? If we cannot see ourselves for who we are in God's eyes, we are not able to love ourselves. If we are not able to love ourselves, we do not know God, we do not know love. When we look in that mirror each morning, we should see God's love for us through the Holy Spirit in us. When we love God, he loves us so much that he gives us his Holy Spirit. When we love God so much that we see him instead of our corrupted self, then we are on the right path. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17, King James Version. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. As this week we are standing still with all that God has done for us, even unto the death of his Son, Jesus Christ, we will also stand still at how he has risen out of the grave. How Jesus has, with that, taken us out of our grave, out of death, into life. What a wonderful love is that. Not a love because we are so good and kind and nice. No, a love because we are his children and the Father loves us unconditionally. We need to hang on to this love, hold the Father's hand, so that we do not fall away from him. He does not want us to sneak away, fall away, backslide, or just plainly reject him. He loves us. He is our faithful God. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, Amplified Bible. Know, recognize, and understand, therefore, that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love and mercy with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Jesus gave us his promise that after his departure, he would send his Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 5, verse 2-5, Amplified Bible. Through him also we have our access, entrance, introduction, by faith into this grace, state of God's favor, in which we firmly and safely stand. And let us rejoice and exult in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. Moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patient and unswerving endurance. And endurance, fortitude, develops maturity of character, approved faith, and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us, for God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 to 24, King James Version, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." So again, let me ask you, what do you see in your eyes when you look into that mirror? The light of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God's love, or do you see the self-pity of the world? Romans chapter 8, verse 37 to 39, Common English Bible. "But in all these things, we win a sweeping victory through the one who loved us. I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus our Lord, not death or life, not angels or rulers, not present things or future things, not powers or height or depth, or any other thing that is created." Romans chapter 5, verse 5, King James Version. "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." We will close, as we have done in the previous weeks, with verses from Psalm 84, with some play on the words. Psalm chapter 84, verse 1 to 5, and verse 12, Amplified Bible. "How lovely are your tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul yearns, yes, even pines, and is homesick for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out and sing for joy to the living God. Yes, the sparrow has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God." Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied, are those who dwell in your house and your presence. They will be singing your praises all the day long. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied, is the man whose love is from you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. O Lord of hosts, blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied, is the man whose love is in you, leaning and believing on you, committing all and confidently looking to you, and that without fear or misgiving. A beautiful picture. Birds have built nests. The valley filled with weeping is replaced by spring, new life, walking in strength, from a personal high to a personal high, more and more secure, more and more confident. A daily walk in strength and renewal in Jesus Christ, in God, in His Holy Spirit. With Jesus as our Jehovah Nisi, our shield, our banner. Having faith in being in this life as we will be in eternity, walking in the presence of our Lord and Savior, filled with His love and joy. Happy, fortunate to be envied, because we are saved by grace and forgiven by His everlasting and enduring mercy. Having hope for a brighter day, filled with His love for us and through us to others, set for a brighter future with Him, our Elohim, our Creator. Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.